The Holy Gospel for this 19th Sunday after the Pentecost is recorded in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. After Jesus begins teaching in the temple, religious leaders try to trap him with questions. First, they ask if God's people should pay taxes to an earthly tyrant like Caesar. So we read. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. So tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, truly it's amazing how what goes around comes around. How similar things are today as they were in the past. If you look at our nation today, if you listen to the news on television or if you read the newspapers, you'll see after listening to our gospel lesson today that our political and economic situation looks very much like the nation of Israel did 2,000 years ago. Israel was a country very much like ours. It was driven by divided loyalties. It was filled with people who lived lives of fear and distrust. There were the haves and there were the have-nots. There were the conservatives and there were the liberals. It was a nation living with mounting government control and all kinds of debts among the people who could not afford to make a good living in that time. But the worst thing of all is that the Romans continued to place heavier and higher taxes on them. So, as you look at it, you can see that people's lives in that day were just as dysfunctional as ours today. You know, most of the people in Israel, in the Holy Lands, in Jesus' day, hated the Russians. And they hated their government. The Romans tolerated these people. They tolerated their religion. They tolerated them being who they were as long as they didn't cause any problems. As long as there was no unrest, everything was all right. But in spite of all of that, a heavy tax burden was placed upon their lives. As these Jewish people waited and waited and waited, as they had for thousands of years, we have this all recorded in the Old Testament, they were still waiting for someone to come and to free them of this oppressive rule. But you know, for them, things seemed to move from bad to worse. And sad to say, this sounds a lot like what's happening to the economic and political arenas today in our country, in America. To these religious Pharisees, and they were religious, they were the super religious, they were the ones who checked on everybody, and they were the ones who made that everyone did the 640 rules that had been handed down over the centuries from the Old Testament. And if you could live up to those rules, then you were okay. If you didn't, then you weren't. And of course, there were the Sadducees and the scribes, and they all had their different ways of looking at what was religious, what was correct, and how one was to live as a Jewish person. Well, there was another group. It was Herod and his followers. The Herodians, on the other hand, they depended on the Romans. They didn't mind the heavy taxes. All they wanted were the special privileges so that they could enjoy, continue to enjoy living the good life. Now, of course, the Pharisees despised them. Despised them for selling out to this foreign government. Now, normally, these two groups hated each other and were bitter enemies and had nothing whatsoever to do with each other except to point fingers. Yet, despite their differences, hey, they're coming together now. And they're getting their strategy together. And they're going to put Jesus into a no-win situation. Well, this trap that they had set for Jesus provided a beautiful teaching moment for him. Render to Caesar and render to God. Both are required. As Christians, we, you and me, we hold dual citizenship. One in Caesar's world, one in God's world. In Caesar's world, God wants and has put into place a government so that we might live lives safe, comfortable, and productive. And he wants that government to be a good government, a caring government, a sharing government, a government that has the people at its heart. And also in this government, God wants good elected leaders who take seriously, at least in our country, their pledge of allegiance to keep this country where? Under God. And also he wants these rulers, these leaders, these elected officials to rule by the phrase that's on our currency. What is that? In God we trust. That's the kind of Caesar's world that God has planned for us, that wants for us to be in place for us. Now that said, there are us Christians who also are asked to live or to be a citizen in another kingdom. Not the kingdom on earth, but God's kingdom. And this citizenship also requires that we pledge something. That we pledge our obedience and our commitment to whom? To Caesar? No. To God. To God. Because he created us, and because God provides for us, he must be the final authority in our lives. He must be our top loyalty. And when our citizenship on earth clashes with the will of God, then God's will must take precedent. Now, sad to say that there are many people today, and our nation basically as it's evolving as a whole, would rather live like the Herodians lived in Jesus' day. They chose to take the easy route by placing their faith, their loyalty, their commitment in Caesar's world. And they wanted to take this easy route so that they might be able to live the good life without any strings attached. But as King Herod's followers soon found out that Caesar's world soon came to an end, and so did the Roman Empire. For you see, no amount of taxes, no amount of production, no amount of government, no amount of military might, no amount of economic prosperity can keep this end from happening. It will come. So what's left? Loyalty and responsibility. That's the fine line between the two kingdoms. And we, you and I, we stand with a foot in each kingdom. And that's okay, that's good, that's where we're supposed to be, with loyalty and responsibility. And that's why studying God's word is so important. How else can we really know the difference between God's will and what the world thinks is right? Unless you're in God's word and he is speaking to you. Only as we clearly know God's will and God's word can our conscience and our hearts be our guide. Otherwise, the only guide is going to be the world's guide. And this is our guide and our only guide as Christians. As Scripture says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall last forever. Now, I wish I'd have brought a coin, and I didn't. But if Caesar's image is on that coin, let him have it. It will only last for a short time. When we render to God, however, the powers of this world will never have the last say. Jesus guaranteed that on the cross and through the empty tomb. He rendered to God that which was God's. You know what that was? His life. His life as a payment for your life and my life, our sinful life. And through that rendering, he guaranteed to us, he purchased for us, a permanent eternal citizenship in the only place that really counts, and that's the kingdom of God. So as we march forward into the unknown future, and by the way, we're going to have elections soon, so please, as Christians, perform your duty as part of that kingdom. But as we move forward into this unknown future, let's examine our commitments and our loyalties. Let's measure each decision that we make. Let's measure each choice, each loyalty, each responsibility in the light of our total commitment to the way and the will of God. That's the key to good citizenship, the citizenship that Jesus was talking about. So may the Lord continue to bless us in the future as we continue as his people to celebrate the joy and the privilege of being part of God's dual citizenship in life. May that be so. In the name of Jesus, amen.